There was a little boy. He walked down to the pet shop, and he was walking back and forth trying to decide. He was looking at all the cats, dogs, fish, trying to decide what pet did he want. And finally he stopped and he said, "Mister, do you see over there? Do you see the dog with the big waggedy tail?" He said, "I want him because he has a happy ending." You know, I like stories with happy endings. When television first started years ago, almost all shows on TV ended happy. And then the hippies came along. And they always wanted to make them sad, blow up the place, and, you know, try to have a twist at the end. But don't you like a happy ending? And God wants us, I'm not just preaching a happy message tonight, but God wants us to live peace, settledness, joy, and happiness. And success. God wants his people to be at rest and not to be filled with anxiety. That's a big word for worry. God doesn't want us to be worry warts. And tonight, I want to talk a little bit about worry. You know, a lot of reasons why we worry. I have a whole page list here. We're so busy, we can't get it all done. The job is bigger than I can imagine. How will I ever pay for it? That bill, where did it come from? I thought it was going to cost this. You ever got one of those? Electric bill? Ah, I thought it was my mortgage. Car problems, your kids, your health, your parents, fear of failure, living in Houston. That's a worry right there. The unknown, disappointments. Will I be accepted? I'm not very popular. Nobody likes me. Family diseases, genetic problems, rejection by people that used to love you, unfaithful partners. Can I go on? There's a thousand things we all could worry about. Our God's bigger than all those things. When we allow ourselves to worry, it triggers a lot of reactions to us. I remember when I was younger, first reading or learning about somebody who had colitis, which is basically internalizing things into your intestines till they become abscessed with too much bile and all that kind of stuff. And people just get sick literally to their stomach. They just worry themselves to death. Ulcers, mental problems that people have, so they just can't focus in life and they get all kinds of help. It takes away the efficiency in an office. It takes away the joy of your personal life. It removes happiness when you should be happy, but you can't be happy because you're worried. Everybody else says, "Why aren't you happy?" And you said, "Here, this is this." It can bring general physical breakdown. People that just have sickness after sickness and trace it back, it goes back to they can't let go of certain things. Faint-heartedness, sleepless nights. Have you spent a few sleepless nights? Nervousness, touchy, irritability. These are the results of worry. Would you agree to this? Yes. And God wants us to deal with worry in our life. He gives us things to think about. Worry originates from within a person, not outside. We like to think, this caused my worry. It was how I responded to worry that causes the problem. Nobody can make me worry. I choose to worry. It's how you yourself respond to the external problems and brings an internal problem in your life. We worry both about the real and the imagined. And the imagined are much more than the real. They've done all kinds of studies. I always wonder who does these studies. But they say that we worry about 95% of things that never happen. And only 5% of those things come to fruition. And here we've worried about 95%. That we could have been enjoying life, but we were frustrated. And then I can remember the first time I heard a preacher say, for a Christian that's got his feet in the ground and knows the Word of God and knows God well, it's a sin to worry. It's a sin to worry. And I remember my little hair going back in my neck, you know. And yet it is. It's a lack of trust in our God. That he somehow is not good, or he's out of control, or this is outside his ability. Sin is maybe a big word for you to put with it, but we as Christians ought not to be in the habit of prolonged worry. Our flesh kicks up. We all have to deal with our flesh, and it comes on like a flood. But to park there and live there is not what God wants you to do. God wants you to be able to overcome it. And if you're prone to that, there may be reasons. Maybe you grew up in a home where that's where their reaction was. Worry, worry, worry. You need to ask God to help you to rethink how you deal with worry. You need to ask him for strength in that matter. So tonight we're going to talk about some simple steps. And I know this message could be expanded over a series, but we're going to talk about some simple ways to deal as a Christian with worry. Shall we bow our heads, please? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us as we look into your word, that we're reminded that you are our God and that you want to help us through this life every moment, second breath, every step of the way. And I pray, Father, that we would learn afresh tonight how to bring ourselves to you, to leave it with you, and to walk in your power and your strength alone. I need your strength, Father, as I preach tonight. Help me to be able to focus and to bring out what you want. Help me not to bring a false emphasis, but help me to walk right down through the principles of Scripture. And may they be great comfort, and may they be anchors to our hearts and our soul. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Psalm 43, please. Psalm 43. Look at verse 5. Psalm 43, 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's worry. Cast down. And why art thou disquieted within? Hope in God. I'm just going to stop right there. Hope in God. The first thing that we need to do if we're going to overcome worry, we can define it different ways. We could say hope, confidence, trust. Trust in the Lord. One of my favorite songs, as most of you know, is "My Hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price for all my sin on Calvary." We know that our soul is eternally hooked to the finished work of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we have anchored our eternal destiny. We've banked on it. We've placed our faith in that. And yet we can't trust God with something that just came across our path today. We need to learn to have hope or confidence or trust in God. That idea of hoping in the Lord. We try to solve our own problems before we take them to the Lord. We try to do it by ourselves. I think of my father years ago. He had a lot of work to do on the farm. There was a big bunch of hay. He always called it the 20-acre piece. And one day he spent the whole day cutting down those 20 acres of hay, getting it all ready. And the next day, it was supposed to be baled and put in the barn. And it's a big deal. It brings all your assets. You need to get it in. If it rains, it ruins the quality of the crop. And he had read the news, and it was iffy when they gave the weather that night. So my dad went to bed that night, and he couldn't sleep too well. And in his thinking, in his mind, he baled that field of hay 10 times. He got up the next day. It was sunshine the whole day. But my dad was so exhausted, he could barely make it through the day. Do you know, we worry. We worry. And we try our best to do it. We do it in our mind. I read somewhere, it said this, a day of worry is worth about a week's work. We just get ourselves physically tore up. I was reading a thing about sleeplessness, and they were talking about how much sleep does a person need? Well, I could use about 15 hours a day. They were saying 7 to 9. But 7 to 9 hours. And they said that if you go in deficit in sleep, like you're down at the 7 to 6.5 to 7, and they said for a week, if you just miss an hour, of sleep, you're just on the negative side of whatever your proper amount is, it starts to take down your ability to work. It starts to break you open to being sick. I mean, it's going down through all the problems. 1 week of missing 1 hour. And how many times do we lay awake at night missing 1 hour of sleep? Would you say amen? Over that test, over that problem that we can't even do anything about, we're going to have to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a verse that I think we all know, but you can turn there if you would like to. But say it with me while some are turning there. Let's let them get there. My wife and I, we first got married, headed out from Houston, went over to Lake Charles, Louisiana, stopped and got our first night hotel. The first thing we did, we got in the room, we had devotions together. And after we had devotions on the side of our bed, we then, Debbie said, you know, my parents chose a life verse. And let's choose a verse together. So we chose Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Boy, have we used that verse. Say it with me, please. You ready? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Absolute trust in the Lord. Not semi-trust, not partial trust, but absolute trust. Trust with all thine heart. Lord, I'm just hooking my heart on you. Trust, Lord, with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine understanding. Don't try to understand how God's going to work it out. Don't try to understand all that. Don't try to figure out what God's going to do. Just trust God. And then he says, acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Submit to his leadership and his will. In all thy ways acknowledge. God, I don't understand, but you sure are in charge. You know all things. You are a good God. I acknowledge, Lord, if this is the way my feet must go, let's go. Submit to his will. Don't kick and scream all the way down the road as God's working in your life. Trust him. Submit to him. Acknowledge this is his path for you. I read of a pastor during World War II that pastored in London, England. Now, if you much about war, you know that one of the big things that happened to England, Germany tried their best to bomb London into submission. I mean, day by day, they blacked out and those bombs would come. Before this happened, 1935, 1939, this church had 200 and some members. When they called the truce at the end of 1945, he had 10 people left alive. All through the war was funeral after funeral after funeral. They had no building. They had nothing. Would you see that would be hard to trust in the Lord in the middle of a war? Listen, Christians. There are things that come along in our lives that are big battles. And it's hard to trust. And it happens to Christians. It happens to preachers. It happens to missionaries. It happens to deacons. It happens to Sunday school teachers. It happens to tithers. Aren't those the things? But Lord, I'm trying to serve you and I don't understand. Trust in the Lord. And he shall direct thy paths. There's the promise. I will lead you along. I will not forsake you. I am with you. What did Job do in the midst of all? He never stopped trusting. And even in the midst of it, we have Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Wow. Though the Lord wants me to die, I will trust him. A lot of the things we worry about are far short of that. Amen? They're far short of death. We just didn't get our way. We just didn't get the money we thought. It wasn't going to work out. The trip got canceled. I mean, we're far short of that. So number one, absolute, unhindered trust, confidence, hope in the Lord. And you know, when you lose your hope, when you lose your confidence, the devil's got you on the ropes already. He's got you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Stephen, I think the air conditioner must have got set a little low. It seems people are getting sort of huddled up. Could you just push it up a degree for me? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Once again, well-known verses. Do you know why they're well-known? Because we're full of worry. Would you care to read those with me? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Here we go. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The idea of keep your heart is that when we turn things over to the Lord, God promises that He will be our keeper. And that word keep is the actual Greek word that God will throw a set of soldiers, troops, around the city. He will garrison, that's the word. He will garrison your heart and keep it and protect it. The peace of God. When you're trusting with the Lord and you bring things to Him, He will keep and protect your heart and your mind. I have talked to enough people that are filled with anxiety, and they said, my heart's breaking, and I think I'm going to lose my mind. I'm just going to lose my mind. I can't handle it. Trust the Lord. The Lord tells us here, be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer. And so our second point tonight is, pray about it. That's not just a platitude or okay, just go pray about it. Go talk to the one that can do something. A lot of times, aren't you frustrated when you try to do something at a store or business and you're talking to some little employee up front and they're saying, this is our policy, and you say, ah! Or you get a machine. If I could just get somebody who's a decision maker. You ever been there? If we could just get in charge of the one that created the heaven and the earth, if we could just get in touch with Him, and what's it called? Prayer. And He has invited us to pray about everything. And so God reminds us that we are to pray. You say, well, what is the use of praying, Pastor? This situation is hopeless. With God, all things are possible. Do you really believe that? Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your care. You know, I always like to look for a good reason to take my jacket off anyhow. Okay. Take off the worries and cast them upon the Lord. Remove them from you. Don't hang on to them. Lord, they're yours. And move on. Cast your care upon the Lord. Prayer changes things. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God will hear. He can change. He can change things, and God can change people. We read the verse this morning, we're talking about building the temple, and one of the things that God just threw the verse in there, I have all the silver and the gold, and we're worried about money? God can take care of your financial needs. A talk with God refreshes and removes anxiety. If I just know that God knows about this, He'll do something. If I can just get God to know, He can know if you'll talk to Him. There's a song. It's probably not one that we use a lot, sort of a different genre song. But it's called, Just Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer wheel turning and you will know a little fire is burning, and you'll find just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes may be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer wheel turning and you will know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right, right, right. Amen? Our God is able to. So when we talk to Jesus, what does that mean? That means that we talk to the one that's invited us and he's capable of doing things. Number one, we are reminded of God's great power. God can do anything. God's infinite wisdom. He knows all things. He knows before, he knows the middle of, and he knows the future. God knows. God knows the mess you're in. And he knows the way through. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. A little talk with Jesus reminds you that God's unbounded love for you never ceases. God loves you. I find sometimes the reason why people don't talk to God very quickly, Pastor, I haven't talked to God in a while, and I don't want to be the first thing I ask him is help. Would you ever think the reason why he put the situation in your life is because he'd been wanting to talk to you? He's trying to get you to come back. He's just waiting for you to talk to him. God didn't shut the door to you. And because you're having a little problem and you haven't lived perfectly, doesn't mean that God won't be mad. That's what we do. Well, now you want to talk to me. God doesn't do that. God's love is unbounding. It's everywhere. I was thinking about this song and I wrote my notes. If we could just have a little talk with our Heavenly Daddy. I miss my mom and dad. And there are a lot of times in life my parents were still alive, I'd pick up the phone and I just wanted to call and talk to my mom or my dad. And you know, it wasn't like they could fly down from New York and take care of my needs. I just knew if my mom and dad knew, I'd feel better. How many of you can identify with this? Amen. And when we talk to the Lord and we know that he's heard our prayers, listen, Christian, take it to him in prayer. And leave it there with him. Taking the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit brings a calmness to your soul. For he is, what's his ministry? He's the paraclete. What is the paraclete? Para means the called alongside one. He's been called to come along and walk through us in this life. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you, and he's called the comforter. He wants to comfort you. We sing the other song. You know, there's so many songs in the hymn book that deal with this. Turn, if you will, with me to 161 in your hymn book. We're not going to sing it, don't worry. 161. I want you to just look at the words, please. Old, old song sticks around because it's so true. 161, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Did you pray about your problems this week, or did you worry? I got out my hymn book that I grew up with. This is my, this is an ancient document now, okay? And there's a song that I sing to myself sometimes that's in this hymn book. I don't think most of us know it. Some may. It's called Ere You Left Your Room. That sounds like an exciting song, doesn't it? It's talking about getting up in the morning and you're heading out. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? When your sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was full of sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Seems like there's such an empty little word, and yet it's so powerful. It drains all of the energy out of that worry and puts it over into God's hand and releases your heart to serve and be what God wants you to be. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 34. Verse 35, the Lord says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's worry, isn't it? Don't worry about your life. But he says this in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, or tomorrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, or this day, is the evil thereof. So what's our third point going to be here? Live for today and quit borrowing tomorrow's problems. Don't try to live tomorrow today. You got enough. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When I first was a young Christian and I read that verse, I had no clue what it meant. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Bloop, right over my head. Boy, have I learned. I've got enough on my plate without borrowing Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That's Corrie ten Boom. Who's Corrie ten Boom? She lived in the Nazi camps. She and her sister. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. We've got enough worry today. Don't worry about tomorrow's worry until you get there. And you're not there yet. Much of what we worry about, we said, never happens. We can imagine, we can build castles full of worry, and they never appear. They never are in reality. I read years ago the daily breads we used to give out. Richard DeHaan, Dr. DeHaan, was a master of an old preacher, and just amazing how he raised up that. And his son Richard sort of inherited his dad's ministry. And I read his testimony one time. Richard DeHaan said he worried about his dad's death and the impossibility that he would ever be able to take on that ministry. He said, how will I ever replace my dad? But he said, one day my dad died, and about 4 or 5 years later, I said, God helped me all the way. I'd worried and worried and worried about it, but when it came to it, God walked me right through it. There was no problem. My grace is sufficient for thee. God will help you when you get there. Don't worry about what if and what could and when it happens. God will take care of you. God provides for today's worries today. That's why you say, I don't think I have grace to do next week. Right, you don't. God hasn't supplied that yet. So quit borrowing from tomorrow. I can remember when many years ago we started Westside Baptist Church. These were my thoughts. My wife and I rented a storefront. We thought we've got enough money that we could pay for 6 months. We signed a 6 month contract. We started in April. We had taught at the school at North Houston for a little while. And we thought, by the time we get to September, we'll be broke. Because we didn't raise money. We didn't try to, you know, get all these things like you're supposed to start a church. And we thought, well, I don't know how it's ever going to go on. And so when it came to September and I looked at my checking account, I had more money than I had in April. How did that happen? I can't explain it to you. And yet I worried myself all over the place about it. These commitments and signing these contracts and stepping out, and I don't have a job anywhere else and I don't have a salary. How did I get more money than I had? That doesn't add up. You just add God in there. Just put God's name in there. And that's not foolishness and presumptuousness, people. God will take care of his own. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3, please. I'll get there eventually. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Here's our next point, number 4. It is of God's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Those verses are worth marking in your Bible. Remember, God's faithfulness is number 4. When you start to get worried, we have written so many songs that deal with all kinds of things like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, think of all. What do you do? Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Our God has always been faithful. Why would he suddenly stop being faithful? He was faithful up until like June 15th and he stopped on the 16th. Doesn't work that way. Our God is faithful. And Christians, we need to learn to remember our God is a faithful, faithful, faithful God. Matthew 11, we're not going to turn there, but we talk about, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mark chapter 11, the Lord says, if you've got a problem, have faith in God, and you can move mountains. And what is the mountain? A mountain is the seemingly, absolutely impossible thing to move. God specializes in things thought. That's where, when you get to that point where you know any coincidence, the odds of it, they're just impossible, that's where God shines. That's where he's the brightest. His faithfulness shines through. And his mercies, They're new every morning. Before I used it all up. That's all right. It's like the manna in the Old Testament. You go out and just collect a whole new bowl full for the day. Amen? God is faithful. He always is faithful. Teenagers, you just have no idea how good God is yet. And I tell you, if you trust him, you can't lose. Because God is so, so faithful. Psalm 42, God is our rock. I thought it was ironic. Here comes the choir director. He said, Pastor, I'm going to be out next Sunday morning. Would you come and lead a song that we're going to sing next morning? And it's a, My God is a rock. I thought, you've been reading my notes? Okay. Our God's a rock. We often think of like prudential insurance. It's founded on the rock of Gibraltar. That's nothing. We're founded on the rock of ages. Our God's a rock. He's faithful. If we worry, people say, I thought your God was a rock. Why are you worrying? You said God could do anything. Why are you worrying? Psalm 34:22, none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. God is our fortress over and over again. He's the one that in times of troubles, we run into him and we shut the doors and the enemies cannot prevail against us. Our God is our fortress. Proverbs 29:25, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I love Fanny Crosby's song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Isn't that a beautiful song? All these songs that have to do with trusting in the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetous, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boy, that verse is full. That's a ton. It's just got a lot of... So here's number 5. Be aware of God's personal presence in your life. I will never leave thee. There's another song. No, never alone. No, never alone. He's promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And you know, one of the things we worry about in life is being left what? High and dry and alone. Our Lord is always there for us. I will never forsake thee. We don't have to fear what man can do to us. There's no road so lonely that Jesus can't walk there. There's no house so dark that Jesus is not beside your side. There's no hospital waiting room that God is not there to hold your hand. God is anywhere and everywhere. He's the God of comfort. He will sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will uplift you by his right hand. He is that paraclete that we talked about. Psalms 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. There is nobody that can prevail. I've been reading the Psalms recently with my 7th grade class, teaching them how to have devotions. And I'm reminded over and over again as they read, David would say, Lord, you're enough. Lord, though my enemies like a flood would take my very soul, I know you got my back. I'm giving you Pastor Butts' translation. Our God never leaves us. His presence is real. Go back to Matthew 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 30. Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, no, don't worry, saith he, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you, Mrs. Leaphart, for your song this morning, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Comes right out of this passage. If God can clothe the lilies, he takes care of the birds. Mindy, he does take care of the birds. Yes. He cares about all those seemingly. Shall he not take care of you? Why are you worried? Why are you concerned? Why are you letting that overwhelm you, tip your cup over, and all your joy is running down the drain? God cares about you more than he cares about a bird. He's numbered the very hairs on the top of your head. Brother Leaphart, you and I, he doesn't have to work as hard, does he? Okay. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply how much? All your need according to his what? Riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't promise all of our wants. Boy, people take that and say, man, I'm getting a new Cadillac. Well, maybe God will. That's fine. That's God's business. That's not what he promised. He said he'll take care of my needs. And he said he'll take care of all my needs. And it's based on the inexhaustible riches of God. Just before church today, I was looking through the internet news, and it had this little phrase. It said, move over, is it Bezos, that's one of the wealthiest people in the world? And they started listing all the people in the world that have been King Tut and all these different people, and they were worth like $280 billion. And they give a list of all these people, and four of them I saw there were listed. We can't calculate how much money these people have. They only have a drop in the bucket compared to God. That hospital bill comes. God can pay it. So our sixth point, believe God for every need. Just turn it over to God. And he says here that he knows you have need of it before you even knew you had a need. And he's been working on it. God can save people. And I don't know how to exactly resolve this in my mind with the free will of man and the wonderful power of God. But God can turn hearts of sinners to Christ. Some of us are desperately worried about a loved one that we want to see saved. The clock is ticking. Our God can prevail in the hearts of men. God can work on men's souls. Do you have an unsaved loved one? The king's heart is in the hands, like the rivers of water. He turneth it this way and that way, whichever so way he willeth. God can deal with a heart. Like I'm saying, I don't know exactly how to resolve that in my mind, but I do know God answers prayer. There was a man that lived next to some people in a country, and in the country, the people next door decided to raise chickens. And with every group of chickens, there's a rooster. And you know what roosters do. As soon as the sun comes up, Oh, have you ever had that happen? And then it's go, put the pillow over your head. Well, this man, one night, he hated that. When I was in Bible college, I went and found an alarm clock that was the most hideous sounding thing I could get. So it'd get me up. And so I would always get up before my alarm clock because I couldn't stand to listen to it. It was a good choice. Well, this rooster irritated him just like that. And so that man worried and he worried and he worried about the rooster crowing next door, and he never slept. And the rooster never crowed the next morning. You know, Christians, sometimes we just worry ourselves to death. You can't be happy and worry. You can't be healthy and worry. God doesn't want you to worry. And God's got your back. Just remember, worries are more about things that never materialize. It's a poor investment of your time. It's a poor investment of your time. Worry never changed anything either. It's a poor investment of your time. Don't sit around waiting for the rooster to crow. Give it to God. Worry is a sin because it shows a lack of faith in what we just talked about. God is God. Isn't it interesting how the Lord knows our needs before we do? Here I'm working on my messages, and I needed this message as much as anybody in this pew with what's gone on with Dr. Hodges this weekend. I've been working on myself all weekend. Debbie, you may have thought I've got this out for you. If you could hear our conversations yesterday, it's all through our message. But Debbie, God's going to take care of it. We're going to trust Him. That's the practical side of prayer. Our God's real. Our God is real. You got some worries tonight? The best place you could leave them is right here. Just leave them there. Let's bow our heads, please.